I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is certainly a privilege again for me to come and share with you from the Word of God. I know that we've all gone through a difficult time, and some of us are still going through a difficult time with COVID-19. The lockdown has not been good for many people, for many businesses, but we thank the Lord that He has kept His hand over us and that He's kept us safe for the most. Yes, we have gone through difficulties. I lost my dad. I know that Joshua of Terrell and Hazel has been going through a tough time, still is, and we're continuing to pray for him. We know that Sister Rita's daughter daughter-in-law, and Pastor Willie's daughter-in-law went through a very tough time, but the Lord touched her, and we're grateful for that. And now their daughter, Margareta, is also going through a trying time. There was Liam, who was himself being tested as far as his health is concerned. And so I can go on, but we thank the Lord that He has shown Himself faithful to us in every way. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank You that Your keeping hand was upon us. We honor You. We love You. And we thank You, dear Father, that Your faithfulness to us is what is that has kept us. We pray in the name of Jesus that we too, in return, will be faithful to You. Lord, we thank You for the growth that we could have experienced during this time. And we pray, dear Father, that You will continue to have Your hand upon us. Now, Lord, as we are to fellowship together, as we are to go and read Your Word and have Your Word speak to us, as we wait upon You, dear God, I pray that Your Spirit will come upon me as I preach Your Word, and that Your Spirit will come upon Your people as they hear Your Word. We desire nothing but to be pleasing to You. And Lord, that we will in every way please You. We thank You now, Father, for this privilege of the preaching of Your Word. And may Your Word come alive to each one of us so that our lives might be changed by Your Word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing Your Word is what we want to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray Your blessing. Amen. Beloved, I am glad to say that it is a privilege for me to preach again to you from Joshua's book. I'm now in chapter 14, and I praise the Lord that He had provided me with a word to share with you today as well. Caleb is one of those favorite characters of the Bible, of the Old Testament, and the stories we tell from the Old Testament will always include the story of Caleb. And today's message, today's story, is about Caleb, the buddy of Joshua. The book of Joshua is aimed at the people of God living pleasingly to God in the Promised Land. We know that this far in the story, the conquest has happened, almost complete. We also know that the allocation of the land to the tribes has happened and is still happening here in the story where we are. And the settlement of God's people in the Promised Land is about to happen very soon. And so as we look at the story of Caleb, I pray that the Lord will encourage us to be like he was. And the great example that Caleb set for us is an example that we will follow. Now, I am wanting you to open your Bibles. We're going to read three texts. The first is found in Joshua chapter 14. Verses 6 to 15. Joshua 14, 6 to 15. And then the second text is in Numbers 14 and 24. Numbers 14, 24. And then the third text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 36. We are asking you to listen with your Bibles open, because I believe that the Lord has got quite a bit to say to us as we go through this text. I have broken up the sermon that I'm about to preach into two parts. The sermon title is Following God Wholeheartedly. I repeat, Following God Wholeheartedly. The first part will have the title Caleb, A Different Spirit. Caleb, A Different Spirit. And the second part will have the title Caleb, A Determined Survivor. Caleb, A Determined Survivor. So our first part will have three headings. First of all, the review, that is of Caleb's history. Secondly, the revelation, that is of Caleb's inheritance. And thirdly, the report, that is of Caleb's conviction. And then next week, when we do part two, we will have three subheadings as well. And that is the ratification of Caleb's portion. And then secondly, the readiness of Caleb's dependency. And then lastly, the reward of Caleb's faithfulness. So today we will look at part one, Caleb, A Different Spirit. So please take your Bibles and let's read together. I've asked Carla to read for us, and so we're going to read first from Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15, and then Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, and then Deuteronomy 1, verse 36. Let's read the Word of God.
Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15. Land allotted to Caleb. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. Numbers 14, verse 24. "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Deuteronomy 1 verse 36. "Except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly."
Thank you, Carla. God bless the reading of his word. Now we've read three texts, and in these three texts, there was a statement that was repeated five times. And that statement speaks of Caleb's heart, that Caleb followed the Lord, his God, wholeheartedly. That Caleb followed the Lord his God wholeheartedly. This is repeated 5 times. 3 times in the main text of Joshua chapter 14, 6 to 15, and it is mentioned once in each of the verses that Carla read afterwards, the one in Numbers and the one in Deuteronomy. And I always see things like that in Scripture. You see, because repetition is often emphasis in the Bible. And what the Bible is saying about Caleb seems to be emphasizing the fact that Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord his God. Hence, my title for the sermon is Following God Wholeheartedly. But right now, part one, we are looking at Caleb, a different spirit. In fact, we find those words in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. It says, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. In other words, Caleb was not like the others. Caleb was different. Caleb had a different spirit. But that spirit that Caleb had was not a negative spirit. It was a positive spirit. It was a good spirit. And indeed, I believe with all my heart that it was a spirit that came from God. And so, today, I believe we must look at this man Caleb. First of all, review his history. See who he is, where he comes from, how he comes to be in the picture that has been read to us. Secondly, we will look at the revelation. And the revelation, any revelation comes from God, only from God. And revelation that comes from God is always intended for man. And the revelation that came from God was a revelation about Caleb's inheritance. And then we will look at the report that Caleb gave. But we are told that in each of these cases, that Caleb showed himself following the Lord his God wholeheartedly. So the review, Caleb's history. There were 12 spies, we are told, that were sent to explore the promised land. One leader for every tribe. 2 spies came actually out of the tribe of Joshua, from the tribe of Ephraim and from the half-tribe of Manasseh. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah, and we know that Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. Now, there were 12 spies, but 2 spies came from the tribe of Joseph. That is because there was no spy sent from the tribe of Levi. Now, the last time I preached to you that the tribe of Levi was not to get an inheritance of land because the Lord is their inheritance. And so, the tribe of Levi did not need a representative spy to go and explore the land. And so the 12th one came from the tribe of Joseph, so that Joseph's tribe had 2 representatives of spies. The 12 spies went to explore the land, and they were told to explore the land for 40 days. They were to split up in the land and go in their different directions. And so each one would explore a different region in the land, and they would come back and they would report on that. We know from the story in Numbers chapters 13 and 14 that Caleb explored the hill country in the promised land, in the region of Hebron. And we know that he came back with a good report. But actually, all of them came back with a good report because they couldn't deny certain facts about the promised land. They were told and they were instructed by Joshua to check out what the land was like, if it was good or bad, whether the people there were strong or weak, whether there were a few people or many, whether the cities were unwalled or fortified, if the soil was fertile or poor, and if the fruit of the land was good or bad. This is what they were given to do as they explored the land. And truly, it was a land flowing with milk and honey, as God had promised. And the spies, all 12 of them, came back and they said, truly, it is a land that overflows with milk and honey. But, and this is a big but, because 10 of the 12 spies said, but the people of this land is huge. They are strong. And we are like grasshoppers. We are like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. And so the people should not be attacked. And secondly is, they said, and the cities are fortified. Of course, the valley of Eshkol produced grapes with clusters big enough for two men to carry one cluster of grapes on a pole. And that is the kind of fruit that came from the land. But the 10 spies said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than us. And this is the problem. The majority of the spies were actually the ones who were toxic in this report. So they poisoned the minds of the people of God. And the people of God lamented at this report. And they wanted to return. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They even said they probably look for another leader who can lead them back to Egypt. And they even spoke about stoning Caleb and Joshua. And it may even have included stoning Moses and Aaron. That is how far they were going in their rebellion. And the Bible says that the Lord, who is slow to anger, there in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 23, was tested 10 times. Now I wonder what it meant that God was tested 10 times. Is 10 a figurative number as a complete number or full number? We know that the tabernacle was where the presence of God was 10 by 10 by 10 measures, so that the Holy of Holies was a perfect cube in the tabernacle. But I don't think that the number here is figurative in that way. I believe that the Lord was tested 10 times because each of these 10 spies spoke negatively about the land that God was giving them or was going to give them. And so we know that this Lord, who was slow to anger, is slow to anger, that his anger burned against the 10 spies. And the Bible said that they were plagued to death. A plague came upon them and they died. They were wiped out. And God furthermore said that the whole generation of Israelites who were there then living, those who are 20 years old and older, would not enter into the promised land. All will die. And not even Moses would enter into the promised land, but only Caleb and Joshua survived that generation to enter into the promised land. Caleb followed the Lord with his whole heart. In fact, he says, the text says here in Numbers that in Joshua chapter 14 as well, that Caleb followed the Lord, his God. Or Caleb utters the words himself and he says that I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. There was a personal relationship between Caleb and his God. There was a personal relationship between Caleb and his God. And so that is why this man, Caleb, is so fascinating to us as we read his story, as we tell his story. Why? Because Caleb was a man who saw possibilities through the eyes of faith. And God wants us to be a people of faith. And as a people of faith, we must be able to see possibilities because of this faith. Beloved, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith always hopes. Faith always sees things beyond what the eyes cannot see. And such was Caleb, the man, the servant of God. That was the review of Caleb's history. But secondly, we look at the revelation of Caleb's inheritance. Then Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6, we are told that due to his bravery and sincerity and zeal, Caleb was one and is one of the favorite Bible characters. Boldly, Caleb there in the story steps forward to Joshua and he says to Joshua, you know what God said about the two of us. Joshua knew about this man Caleb. Joshua knew about the promise that God personally gave for Caleb and for Moses to swear by the name of God. Caleb was in God's plan. God revealed to Moses that God was going to give Caleb the very land, the exact land of which he brought a true report. Caleb was going to get what God had in mind for him. You know, sometimes we don't worry about what God has in mind for us. We have our own ideas of what we want. We are always looking for more than what we need. We are never satisfied and stuff like that. And here is a man who was happy to have what God gives him. And he was faithful to God. He would follow God wholeheartedly. If Moses was the pattern of a leader, then certainly Caleb was the pattern of a follower. He followed the Lord, his God, wholeheartedly. This revelation that God gave, Moses sworn to Caleb that this is what he will get. Now, after 45 years, the Bible tells us, 45 years of hardships, of strife, Caleb gains what God has promised. Caleb gains what God has decreed. You see, this is how revelation always works. Revelation that comes from God comes always as a promise. Revelation that comes as a promise always turns into a decree, a promise that God decrees to give. And finally, every promise that God makes, every decree that God makes, God fulfills. God owes nobody anything. And what God promises, he does. And praise the Lord that there came a time when Caleb would inherit the land that God revealed he would land. But you know, it is because of Caleb's faithfulness to God that this promise was fulfilled. And equally so, in fact, more importantly so, it was by God's faithfulness that this promise was fulfilled to Caleb. The revelation of an inheritance was the result of a heart devoted to God. The revelation of an inheritance was the result of a single-minded integrity of a man who would live wholeheartedly for God. Caleb gained God's approval. Caleb pleased God's heart. God will vindicate those who has His approval. God will vindicate those who are according to His heart. Sometimes we find ourselves guilty. We find ourselves guilty as the people of God. We find ourselves guilty as the servants of God, that we seek the approval of men rather than of God. I know when Luke was a youngster and I taught him one of his first phrases or sentences or quotable quotes, it was this: seek God's approval rather than man's applause. And he still remembers that quote till today. And so, here we are. We are to be like Caleb was. But Caleb was the kind of man that stood by what he believed. And we know that we ought not to be the kind of Christians that would please men rather than to please God. And I've got to ask you this telling question. Are you a man? Are you a woman who pleases the heart of God? We must learn as the people of God to shun the fear and the favor of man. And this is what Caleb had done. And God will always reveal His favor to the man and to the woman who is willing to shun the fear and the favor of men, and so that they would by their conviction obey God. And so that brings me to my third heading, the report. The review is about the history of Caleb. The revelation is about God's promise to Caleb. And now, the report, and this is the way the story unfolds, is about Caleb's conviction. I have already alluded to this in the previous subheading, but we know that we are living in a time, and we are living particularly in a time where our politicians would vote only with the party, and they would yield to practices, and they would yield to decision which according to their own better judgment they will know it is wrong. But they've got to toe the party line. They dare not brave the popular verdict. They've got to go with the popular verdict. They have to vote the party line. But Caleb did not vote the party line. Caleb did not go with the majority. Caleb spoke the truth. And Caleb understood the fact that God, who had brought them so far, will take them into the promised land. We know that while the 10 spies said, but they are too huge, they are too big, they are too strong for us, and the city walls are standing tall, Caleb said, no, but God can give us this land. God can overthrow those who are our enemies. But instead, the 10 spies saw the enemy as bigger and stronger than God. But Caleb followed God wholeheartedly. The history of Caleb is the history of a man who was and is honest. Caleb's history was setting him above the prevailing opinions of his day. Caleb did not choose that which was palatable for others. His report, though unpopular, was the report he gave, and he gave his report out of his convictions. We are told, Caleb says, but I gave my report according to my conviction. My fellow Israelites, the 10 spies, made the hearts of the people sink. The report that Caleb gave was fitting to his character. The report that Caleb gave was independent of the influence of others. The report that Caleb gave was a report of truth and of courage. We are often tempted to hide our convictions when our convictions are unpopular. God help us to make our convictions known, even if they are unpopular. Such was the report of Caleb. The 10 spies made the hearts of the people sink. They poisoned the minds of God's people. They started a rebellion. They started getting the people looking for another leader other than the servant of God, Moses. And they were wanting to turn against God's plan and go back to Egypt. But Caleb remained true to God. And he says, I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. See there in verse 8. It is not enough that we should believe in God, beloved, but we must live a life that is true to God. Such was Caleb. Caleb followed the Lord. Caleb followed his will. Caleb followed God's example. Caleb followed God's agenda. He followed God's purpose. He followed God's direction. He was wholeheartedly given to God and followed Him. He followed God wholeheartedly. And listen to this, not half-heartedly. And so in conclusion, let us all know that we are constructing in our lives, both individually and corporately, a history, a collective history that will speak for us or against us. Your life will judge you. Not the first time I say that to you. What will be the legacy of your life? What will be the legacy of our lives corporately? But I know that the legacy of Caleb's life was ultimately the victory of the land that God had promised him. I must ask you, are you a man or a woman of conviction? Are your convictions strong? I pray to God that I would always be a man of strong convictions, who operate according to the values of truth. Are you an encourager rather than a discourager? The 10, they were discouragers. They looked at the obstacles. They would not be willing to fight for that which was good. But Caleb was an encourager. He said, we can by the strength that God gives us. Are you an encourager or a discourager? Are you happy with mediocrity for yourself and for others. How do you do things? Do you do it wholeheartedly or do you do it half-heartedly? More importantly, how do you follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Wholeheartedly or half-heartedly? Following God wholeheartedly is the title of my sermon for this week and for next week. This is what God wants. God wants men and women who would follow Him wholeheartedly, like Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. God does not want people who operate half-heartedly. And whatever you do, do it with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord. That is serving the Lord wholeheartedly. But if you do whatever you do half-heartedly, you've got to be happy with mediocrity. God help us to serve God wholeheartedly. Next week, we will look at part two of our sermon. And I trust that God, please forgive me, that God will have blessed you by this word. And that you will be committed to wholeheartedly serving God, to serve God with integrity, to be truthful and to stand for truthfulness, and not to go with the popular vote or the popular idea, but to know what your convictions are, so that you, by your wholehearted conviction, can wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you that you spoke to us in a special way. And I pray, dear Father, that your word will have touched the hearts and minds of your people and that your word will affect change in the way that we think. We pray now, dear Father, that your grace be upon all of us. And that you would lead us and guide us, that we will be men and women who will always follow the agenda and the direction and the purpose of God in our lives. We honor you, we love you, in Jesus' name, with much thanksgiving, amen. The Lord bless you, the people of God, amen.
When peace